On April the 20th, I got up early to work out for an hour, since it was my exercise day. I felt great, and I was in good shape. The next day, April the 21st, I had to be taken to the hospital in an ambulance. It happened so fast, it was unbelievable. Usually, trouble comes to us that way. One moment, everything is fine. The next, the roof just tumbles in. It may be an accident, or a heart attack, or an x-ray that shows cancer, or any number of things. But when the roof tumbles in, what then? How are we going to deal with disaster? How are we going to handle bad news? With terrible trouble, what shall we do when it comes? In speaking to that question this morning, I want to do so in terms of a man in the Old Testament about whom we've just read, a man called Job. Now, one of the first things I want to say about Job is that he tried to stay out of trouble. For example, the Bible tells us that he got up early each morning to offer burnt offerings to God for each of his children, just in the chance that one of them might have sinned. You see, one of the common views that man had in that day about God was that if you displeased him, he punished you. Later on, Job was to reject that view, but at that time in his life, he was just trying to keep his family out of trouble. Someone once asked Mark Twain if he knew where all the sandbars in the Mississippi were. He replied, "Why should I go banging about looking for sandbars? Man, I know where the deep water is." Well, Job knew where the deep waters of God were. And he rose up early, says the Bible, to offer sacrifices for his children. He wanted to keep himself and his children out of spiritual trouble. Now, do you do that for your children? A lot of us parents leave our children to shift for themselves spiritually. We wouldn't think of turning small children loose to own their own living, to earn their own living, or to get their education the best way they could, or to grow up on their own without the benefit of our guidance. And yet there are so many parents who are willing to let their children do the best they can for themselves spiritually. And I suspect if all of us had Job's concern for the spiritual welfare of our children, the world would be a better place this morning. Now, the second thing I want to say about Job is that in spite of his best efforts, trouble came just the same. And that's the way life really is, isn't it? Even when we are good as we can be, in spite of our very best, still trouble comes into the lives of all of us at one time or another. First, word came to Job that his livestock had been either stolen or destroyed. His camels, his oxen, his sheep, his donkeys, everything was gone. Second, word came that his children were dead in the rubble of a tornado. Disaster piled upon disaster until all he had was gone. And then, to put the frosting on trouble's cake, Job himself fell ill. Now, he may not have lost 25 pounds, and he may not have had to wear a body cast, but he was in a lot worse shape because the Bible says his body was covered with festering boils. Now, how are you going to understand trouble when the roof tumbles in? As a matter of fact, I suspect there are very few of us here this morning who don't have trouble of one sort or another. And how are we to understand it? When a child is born crippled or retarded, when a loved one is hit with a malignancy, when a mate is taken in death, when the love has gone out of a marriage, when there's a breakdown in relationships between parents and children. How do you comprehend it? Is it just bad luck? Is it the anger of God? Is it a curse hanging over the family? Well, in the case of Job, the Bible tells us his problems were not due to sin, because as the Bible puts it, Job was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. And I can't say that about me. Can you say it about yourself? Can you say you're blameless and upright and that you always turn away from evil? But for many of us, the sorrows, the problems, the disasters do come into our lives. And isn't it a matter of fact then that much of what happens to us is simply a part of the risk we run in being human? You and I belong to broken, fallen, corrupted humanity. And because we do, there is no intellectual or rational rhyme or reason for our troubles. We are the children of Abraham. We are the children also of his predecessor, Adam. And while through Abraham we have access to the glorious gospel and redemption in Jesus Christ, through Adam we are the heirs of trouble and death and sickness and pain. As a part of fallen humanity, we're susceptible to illness. Our bodies grow old and wear out. Our bodies are subject to malfunction and breakdowns. We are imperfect people living in an imperfect world. So the first observation is that Job tried to stay out of trouble, and the second observation is that in spite of his best efforts, trouble came simply because he, too, was a broken person living in a broken world. The third observation I want to make is that when the roof tumbled in, Job didn't take his troubles lightly. No, his sorrow was very deep and very intense. I hear people say, oh, don't cry, he's better off. Oh, don't cry, everything will be all right. But you aren't better off, and things won't be all right. Job didn't take his troubles lightly. The Bible says he rent his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell upon the ground, the most profound Hebrew expression of grief possible. His heart was simply crushed. When three of his friends came to call, the Bible says they sat beside him for 7 days without saying anything because, as Scripture puts it, they saw that his grief was very great. I know exactly how those friends felt. Often I go into a home where death has come, where tragedy has struck, and there's just nothing to say. All you can do is just be there and somehow try to embody God's love and God's presence in the midst of sorrow. No, Job didn't take his troubles lightly. As the Bible says, he rent his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell upon the ground. But do you remember how that sentence ends? When he had given the most profound expression to his grief of which he was capable, then the Bible says, he worshiped. Isn't that a surprise? He tore his clothing, he shaved his head, he fell upon the ground, but there in the midst of the rubble of a roof that had caved in, the Bible says he worshiped. How could that happen? When the roof tumbled in, when life had done its worst, how in the world could Job worship God? Let me suggest there were two reasons. First, Job worshipped because he knew that life was ultimately in the hand of God. Now, frankly, Job didn't know why trouble had come to him. And he wasn't happy about it. That's why he cried out, "Why didn't I die from my mother's womb?" He didn't know why it came, but he did know one thing. He knew that ultimately life was in the hands of God. If you and I are to handle trouble when the roof tumbles in, that is a fact of faith that we must share with him. Is Russia or China in control of history? Is the atomic bomb bigger than God? Is a malignant cell outside the power of God to control? Who or what is finally in charge of things? To that question, Job answered steadfastly, God is in control. Do you remember how he put it in our scripture this morning? He said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is everything. God's in control. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. And because God's in control, blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that a ringing affirmation that God is in control? God gives, God takes away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. When the great missionary Livingston was once questioned about his life in Africa, the questioner said, how can you live among those heathen people, never knowing from one moment to the next if they'll put an arrow through you? And Livingston replied, my life is in God's hands, and I trust him. That is enough for me. So with Job, above all, he believed that life was ultimately in God's hands. But there's a second thing about Job. You see, not only did he believe that God was in control, he also believed that even when the roof tumbled in, God would still act in loving and redemptive ways. You see, it's one thing to be in the hands of a cruel despot. It's another thing to be in the hands of somebody who loves you and cares for you. Now, Job's wife didn't understand that. In the sorrow and tragedy that had come into her life, she cried out in frustration to her husband, curse God and die. Yes, curse this monster who has let all that we own and all we love be destroyed. Curse this God who controls things but lets the roof tumble in. You remember what Job replied? He gave an answer that sets our hearts to singing. He cried out, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Yes, he believed that the God who's in control of the universe is also a God who acts lovingly, redemptively. In centuries to come, St. Paul was to express it, all things work together for good to them that love God. And then in his own life, when he was ill and had prayed 3 times for God to remove it, he says, God said to me, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You know, it's an interesting thing to me that when Handel came to write his famous music, The Messiah, he went to the book of Job for the key song in the whole Messiah. The work entitled, I Know That My Redeemer Liveth. It is a song of faith that comes out of the darkness of despair. Let me say that again. It's a song of faith that comes out of the darkness of despair. As some poet has put it, and many a rapturous singer among the sons of light will say of his sweetest music, I learned it in the night. And many a rolling anthem that fills the Father's home sobbed out its first rehearsal in the shade of a darkened room. And surely that was true even for Handel himself. But when he wrote his masterpiece, he was already going blind. Yes, I know that my Redeemer liveth. A good many years ago, an expedition set out for the South Pole. One of the members of that party was a man named Edward Wilson. It was a disastrous expedition. All of the men in it were to perish. Later, when their frozen remains were discovered, a letter was found on the body of Edward Wilson, addressed to his wife. And in part, this is what he wrote to her. As he faced certain death, I leave this life in absolute faith and happy belief that if God wishes you to wait long without me, it will be to some good purpose. All is for the best to those that love God. Isn't that amazing? He's facing death. All is for the best to those that love God. And we have loved him with all of our lives. All is well. Our whole journey record is clean. Your little testament and prayer book will be in my hand or in my breast pocket when the end comes. All is well. Job, St. Paul, Edward Wilson, all had learned what to do when the roof tumbled in. They knew life was ultimately in God's hands and that a loving God always acted redemptively and all was well. I don't know why trouble comes to me or to you. I don't know why sometimes the roof tumbles in. But when we believe that a loving God is in control, and when by faith we know in our hearts that God always acts redemptively, then we too can cry out amidst the rubble of a caved-in roof, all is well. Let us pray. Let us pray.